This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, "What's up, cracker?"
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. As you know, 5 o'clock is coming up. And remember, in the next hour, you will have an opportunity to win a four-pack of tickets to go see Zach Top coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Four-pack of tickets, that's coming up next hour. So stay tuned and be ready for that. But let's head out to West Palm Beach to talk to our guy Seth Payne, who is out there. And I'm telling you what, if ain't nobody enjoyed themselves at spring training, it is you, Seth. Just listening to you in the mornings and on with us, it feels like to me that you're having a much better time than you even anticipated.
That's exactly right. I told Sean Sean and I discussed it. This wasn't me telling Sean what to do, but we discussed it when we first got here. You know, last time we were here, we tried to pretend like we were baseball reporters or something. We sat up in the press box and we had our notepads out, and I said that's stupid. The we need to go experience spring training. So this time we committed to just really taking it in as like a fan as much as possible, and it's been a blast. I cannot recommend enough if you're an Astros fan to come to spring training for a few days. One, and we ran into a bunch of our listeners that were doing just that, that came out for anywhere from 3 to 5 days, just to some of them with their friends, some with their families, and everybody just has a great time. The weather has been perfect this time around, and it's been that kind of a camp though too for the Astros, or spring training, where there's a lot of young guys and new additions that you're genuinely excited to see. So it's been a blast.
What about the strip y'all were on last night, man? Yesterday, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but it seemed like y'all found the spot, huh?
Yeah, Greece. The name of the place is Greece. And it's not, I was nervous because I thought it was going to be like some Grease the Musical themed place or something.
Fair.
And it wasn't that at all. It was an ode to unhealthy food in America. It was a big ass, my burger might have weighed 17 pounds. I don't know. And tater tots that had like a full tub of margarine in them. It was really good. And we're on this. So West Palm Beach is weird because you're driving through it and it looks like we're driving through it at 6 p.m. at night, and there's all these brand new buildings. They're tall buildings. I don't know if they're officially skyscrapers or not. All over the place, but the streets are empty. And I'm looking up Wikipedia. The population of Palm Beach is 9,000 people. West Palm Beach with 58 billionaires. And there's nobody in the streets until you get to this one street where Greece was, and it's packed, and it looks like something you see from a movie. So I honestly feel like the whole place is a scam. I don't know what it is. It's all a big front to try to sell condos or something.
A Ponzi scheme, you said.
Yeah, but it's been awesome. It's really been a great time this year.
No, it sounds like it has. Seth Payne is with us from West Palm. Now, before we get to tomorrow, because I know that's got to be one of the biggest days in spring training for the Astros in a long time with what's going to happen in left field. But up to this point, we saw the debut from Peña and Yordan today. But up to this point, what has stuck out to you in terms of these guys getting on the field? Because we're starting to see more of the guys that are going to play a big impact this year.
I think Cam Smith for sure. And
he got another hit today, didn't he?
Yeah, he got another hit today. So he's batting like 600 or so. No big deal, right? Listen, I'm a spring training veteran now. I don't overreact, except that he's probably going to be an all-star this year. And the biggest thing about Cam Smith is, like, it's just he looks like a football player. He looks like he could be playing wide receiver. And, you know, and he's really tall for a third baseman. He's 6'3", so that looks a little different, especially when he's replacing who we've seen, who's a relative munchkin out there, and Alex Bregman at third base. But he has all those tools, and you can see it, and it's really apparent. But everybody that you talk to around the Astros really brings up his personality, and he seems to be really mature but really energetic. I was a little bit nervous when I learned that his favorite player is Yasiel Puig, but it seems like he's taking the energy of Yasiel Puig, but it doesn't sound like he's crazy like a bat like Yasiel Puig. So I this might be one of those guys that I spend more time trying to watch minor league games this year than I typically do, just because I want to see Cam Smith.
What do you get the feel, though, Seth? I know you don't want to put the cart before the horse. It's spring training, and it's only a couple of games, but do you get the feel that watching him play, being around, and then as well as hearing from the organization, that this is a fast-track situation and there's some real legs to him potentially seeing the field in the icebox this year at some point?
I mean, they're not – Espada and Dana Brown especially are not hiding their excitement over Cam Smith at all. But I think they're also baseball guys that know you can't force stuff like this. They got to let it play out. And they're certainly – you know, they're going to want to get all the service time they can out of him. So I don't think they're going to be in a huge hurry early in the season to do anything. But they're not trying to hide how positive they feel about him. And I think there's a really good interview that we'll play at 9:20 tomorrow that Adam Spillane did with Dana Brown today. And I've listened to the whole interview, and it's great. But just one of the things that he talks about in the interview is you got to, you know, be sure his bat comes around. And as long as his bat comes around, then maybe they'll think about playing him in the outfield, perhaps. They're not married to just having him play third base this year, but you gotta let the player develop and not push it too hard. But they're not hiding the possibility that it could happen. Now they haven't. I don't think any of them talked about this year specifically. But people are just really, really high on him.
All right, Seth. A big thing tomorrow, and hopefully we will get to hear from you guys about it is. The Jose Altuve start in left field, and he is going to make his debut there. Joe Espada, the captain, said 4 to 5 innings he could play at third base, and I'm just wondering from you, what's your feeling? Are you feeling nervous? Are you excited? Like, what is your feeling of being able to see him in left field for the first
time? I have gone from extreme skepticism to now I am pulling for Altuve. For a couple of reasons. One, just because Altuve seems to have really embraced it, and it doesn't seem at all like it's something that he's being forced into, but it's also something that should be good for his career. You know, his defense has been declining at second base. It's more physically taxing to play at second base. We've seen here that Biggio did, you know, extended his career moving on to the outfield, and that's playing center field, a much more grueling position. And Altuve seems to be all about it. I'm not nervous. I almost want to see him make some mistakes so we can get those out of his system and get a feel for it. But I don't think the fielding side of it is going to be an issue. I mean, he's not going to be as smooth as somebody that's been playing out there his whole career. I think it's just all the other stuff. And Adam Spillane has talked about this with us in the morning. All of the other things that go along with it, you know, just managing the game situation, keeping track of the base runners, making the actual throws in the relays, are just completely different types of throws than you have to make in the infield. So I think a lot of the stuff that might be second nature for a lot of stuff, or for a lot of guys, he's obviously going to have to be thinking about. So I'm not, I just don't want him to have something that goes viral. I don't want the baseball to hit him in the forehead or something. That's all. I just want some mental error where he thinks there's two outs when there's not. Something like that.
Seth, what about, I could go on about Altuve all day. This fascinates the hell out of me, man. And I've gone from concerned to all of a sudden of like, hey, I just want to see it now. But what about the automated strike zone that I think is top of mind for a lot of fans? Right now, of really just, it's not if, it's when, right? But right. You saw that in person.
In the first Mets at-bat today, they had two challenges. So for those of you who don't know, they're going to implement it in 2026, but they're rolling it out and experimenting with the version that they've been using in the minor leagues this year during spring training. And this is the coolest thing about it. It is seamless. I didn't have any expectations whether I was going to love it or hate it, but in the first at-bat for the Mets, so in the bottom of the first inning, there was a called strike, the batter challenged, and it got overturned. This is how it goes. The batter or the catcher or the pitcher has to challenge within just a couple of seconds of the ball crossing the plate. You can't get any input from the dugout or anything, so the batter has to make the decision or the catcher has to make the decision. It seems like most teams really don't want the pitchers messing with it because they don't have as good an eye for it as they think they do. So the challenge is made. Immediately a graphic of the strike zone goes up on the scoreboard, and then within a few seconds, just like on the TV broadcast, they show where the ball was and whether the ruling is upheld or overturned. And that's it. So one of the calls went the Astros' way. The two challenges in the first inning. One of the calls went the Mets' way. And that was it. Like, the flow of the game was not interrupted at all. And it's cool because you guys know when you're watching baseball in person, Major League Baseball does a horrible job with the replays. They don't want to show anything up on the scoreboard to entertain you between at-bats or anything. And it was a really cool thing that you could watch on the scoreboard and get instant gratification. So it's not like in football where it's going to take 90 seconds or something like that. It feels a lot more like in tennis or volleyball where they use the tracking system and boom, it's there and then you move on. It was really cool.
All right, man. Hey, last night, enjoy yourself. Have you another Long Island iced tea? Have yourself another one. Have yourself a good time tonight. You and Sean need to really let your hair down tonight.
We will. We're gonna go and flirt with all the old ladies in West Palm Beach. Sean and I got a little attention from an older lady on the way in this morning.
Really? Nice. How does that go? Come on. Hey, don't give me the 411 on what color were the
pants. He said on the way this morning, on the way in this morning.
This is the oldest I've ever felt in my life. It started off with her husband complimenting my Hokas. And it's like Sean said it was like a kid. Sean has some nice Air Jordans every now and then, and when a teenager compliments him on his Jordans, he feels pretty special. I got a compliment from an 85-year-old dude who's
wearing the same shoes as you.
Yeah.
He had
the
same shoes on. Yeah,
except his were fresher.
By the way, real quick scoring at home, that is Sean Pendergast who joins us. So Payne and Pendergast right now with us right here on the drive. But go ahead. After she said, let me see it, what happened?
Oh, well, nothing. We just had a pleasant conversation.
Well, you were talking to the old man while I was over there. You were kind of running interference for me.
She had pineapple earrings, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
She had a pick and let you bring it home, huh?
Yeah.
Google pineapple, and like the lady was wearing pineapple earrings.
Oh, we know. We've talked about pineapples on this show.
Yeah, they were coming in hot and heavy, but we had to part ways.
And
they
red mulch.
They were 85 years old.
Yeah, yeah. They caught a foul ball.
Yeah, they did.
They caught a foul ball. Yeah. We saw them. We're looking down there on one of the foul balls. We're like, is that the couple that we were talking to on the way? Yeah. It sure was.
Then I beat him up and took his shoes and his baseball.
And I can't get up.
Yeah. That's about how old she was.
Yeah.
Falling and can't get up. She's a big baseball fan.
I'm sure Brandy and Amy are not worried one bit, huh?
No, they're not. Trust me.
She's like, have at it, slugger.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. We are really looking forward to hearing about Altuve tomorrow and be listening to that interview. One more time to the people. What time is that with Dana Brown?
9:20, Adam Spolane's interview with Dana Brown.
All right, 9:20 tomorrow on Payne and Pendergast. Dana Brown sits down with our own Adam Spolane. You'll hear that tomorrow. All right, fellas, enjoy yourselves.